Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey, folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain, live here with you on FM Talk 106.5 on a Tuesday night. I'm Scott Tindall, joined as always by the Johnny Gwynn. Johnny, how are you?
I'm here and I'm getting through. I have been dealing with a major music company that deals with podcasts.
Yeah.
And for 5 weeks, they can't fix the smallest issue I've ever dealt with in my life. So,
well, they've removed all the humans for you to interact
with. They probably have created, yes, anyone who was dealing with that, it's probably a bot. And they, yeah, they even kind of said it's a mess.
So, at some point, you get so big that you're like, you can leave. It's cheaper for them to have you quit than for them to solve your issues.
Yes, but imagine 450 podcasts with...
Oh, yeah. My point is they don't care.
No, they don't. They really don't care about an independent publisher because they make money on their own ad space. And why would they ever care about the $80 we play a month? I mean, right. They need something scalable.
Yeah.
So if anything, I see it as... And once I get this done, I will say the name of this company and you know, not worry about it. But I'm still trying to get through this.
Yeah, let's not.
But I will put it on blast.
Let's not put any extra hurdles up for you to get your problem resolved.
I will put it on blast. And but I will probably be, I have a personal membership with them to listen to music. Mm-hmm. I'm at such a point now where, and I love it for my listening pleasure, but I'm so angry now, I don't want to give them a red penny. A red scent.
Not a red scent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
But that's where I am right now. But other than that, I'm glad to be here.
Hey. we'll have a good hour and take your mind off that. How about that?
Okay. Yes,
What do we got going on in the news this week?
Well, you know, we still have the Clarity Act. And it says, I think it was like the first week of September, there's going to be a vote. But, you know, here's the thing. Congress has been trying to write crypto rules for 3 years now, and Trump promised by that, by the way. That was a big thing that I looked at for voting. Florida wrote a one page last week and just passed it, by the way, with state crypto clarity.
I mean, DeSantis does like to get things done.
I think, to be honest, we're going to look back and say DeSantis would have been a much better president, but he just couldn't take the air out of the room when Trump was there. I'm serious. As an executive, look what that guy has done. He handled COVID right.
Yep.
They always handle their storms pretty well. They've seemed to get a lot of in that state kind of going in the right direction, and they really kind of seem like they have their act together.
They do seem like they have their act
together. Seems like. You know, but again, I don't spend a lot of time. It just, the news that I see from there is like, well, they really kind of doing their thing.
Most of the news I see out of Florida are county sheriffs telling people to just shoot home intruders so that the sheriff's department doesn't have to deal
again
with it.
There is a whole right, it's like let's just save some money.
Yeah.
And just but again, that's the, they have a very strong stand your ground law and a very strong castle law, so
yeah.
And it is the deep, well, it's a weird southern, I won't say it's deep southern, it's just Florida is just Florida is just Florida.
All right. We got a story about data centers. I know that's in the news,
but it's
a
local.
Lot.
We talk about it a lot, but this is Africa Town. This is Pritchard.
This is right next door.
And the fight, that there's a fight going on 10 minutes up the road from here, and no one's talking about it. Well, they are talking about it. The clock runs out on Friday. I guess there's a vote, and everyone is arguing about AI taking jobs. What jobs in Pritchard? I'm going to ask that question. They need people to be building things in that city, and there needs to be, even if it's 100 jobs, man, that's a big deal for Pritchard. By the way, I think it might be the poorest city in America. Is that still true?
Alabama Village certainly is, and it's a part of Pritchard.
So the thing, it comes down to the water use and the electricity cost. Now, we keep saying, we keep hearing the biasness of how much water it is. I've heard both sides of the story. They both seem credible, but I'm not smart enough to understand it still, I guess. And the other thing is, there are some data centers that have kind of gone in Mississippi, and it has gone up like $10.50 per bill for additional energy cost. But again, I don't want to hear the people who are complaining about this say, why can't we have really nice data stuff and internet and AI? And then they're the same people that says that we can't have data centers because they're evil.
Yeah, well, it's the irony is pretty thick, complaining against a data center on the internet. Complaining on the internet.
Right, as they're using their smartphone and everything else. And this is another thing I want to give kudos to the U.S. government, which I usually don't do. The FAA couldn't fill a job nobody wanted, and that would be the air traffic controllers.
Right.
So somebody asked a completely different group of people to look into it, mm-hmm. and they're gamers.
Yeah.
Doesn't that not, that's pretty that's darn perfect. Smart, man.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Again, it might not, it's not all of them, and there's a lot of applications that came in, but that is really smart.
I think targeting gamers makes perfect sense for air traffic controllers.
And they've already got that mentality of sitting for 10, 12 hours at a time and not moving except for their fingers and their eyes.
Yep.
That tends to fall into it. And I would have, yeah, that is some, I hate saying out of the box thinking because it's so out of the box to say, it's not out of the box to say that.
Right.
But it really is some interesting angle to something that makes a lot of sense.
If only we had more of that.
If only we had more of people saying, let's try this interesting way of doing it.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain, live with you here on a Tuesday night, FM Talk 6.5. Scott Tindall, Johnny Gwynn. We're talking a lot of AI tonight and a lot of ways that AI is now being used against you, but how you can try and level the playing field. What we got going on in this segment, Johnny?
Two stories in this segment. And they're the same story from opposite sides of the table.
Okay.
First story, a hospital in the Bronx just laid off 12 nurses. Not bedside nurses. They were the nurses whose job was entirely reading your file and arguing with your insurance company that your care was necessary. Somebody was in there fighting for you. Now it's software and AI. Second one, a man's father-in-law died of a heart attack and the hospital sent him a bill for $190,000. He didn't hire a lawyer. He asked the hospital for one form, fed it into a chat bot, and got $163,000 knocked off. So it's the same weapon, two sides, and for about 100 years, it's only been one-sided.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time where people now may have the ability to actually read into the fine print,
mm-hmm.
and hold companies accountable to, because we know the companies are going to hold the consumer accountable, sometimes even beyond the scope of the contract.
Again, and then we're at the ignorance, not stupidity, of we can't read that legalese. We don't know all those loopholes. We don't know that system.
Nor do you have time to sit on hold for 8 hours while—
What does that cost you?
You're at work and trying to do your job and pay your bills.
I mean, my wife had to deal with her mother in an assisted living, and after her passing, the time, the effort. And this was, by the way, not care and needing care. It was after the fact, and it was just dealing with all the stuff.
Yeah.
And they literally can overload you. The insurance,
that's the whole idea.
They do. We bury you to get you. We want you to give up.
Yeah.
We want you to give up. And then again, take.
You want all the documentation? Here's 900 pages. Good luck.
Well, and that's the thing of great, when you know you're guilty and your lawyer says, well, in discovery, we'll just give them 900 boxes worth of stuff. Where it's
yeah, let them go find it.
Yeah, there's four emails in there that's going to it's going to indict you. Well, let's go ahead and just give them 900,000 emails to go through.
Yeah.
Well, again, AI would be better at finding that now.
It will, for sure.
But you still got to get it in the system. That's, again, scanning. You still got to scan every single one of those.
Still got
to
get them in.
If it's on paper and they don't give it to you digitally, you got to take analog and make it digital.
It's like, here's a U-Haul full of banker's boxes full of documents. Well, good luck. God bless.
All right. Do you know how many of in-network claims are actually denied?
Oh, this is a great question.
And I don't even know. Hold on. This is using our research, right?
Right. Okay. The in-network claims tonight.
So this is right. This is in-network. These are like,
already told you this is how you got
to
do it.
This is supposed to be the approved doctor. You've probably seen them for years. This is in your city. This is supposed to be the frictionless. You didn't break your leg skiing in a mountain in Boulder, Colorado.
Right.
This is Mobile, Alabama, where we live and breathe.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to be way off on this. and I'm not going to cheat by looking ahead. I would like to say 10 to 15% just on, human error on your claim. The cynic in me is going to say it's closer to 25%.
Man, you're in the wheelhouse. It's 19% in-network claims denied, and total nationwide is 85 million.
Yeah, see, that's the, right? Like the cynical, like,
yeah.
There's no way 19% of this is human error.
And also,
I just don't believe that.
Again, it's how many times do you do that thing where the, like, I'm talking chemotherapy, I'm talking a major, major, this is not sniffles. This is not, you know, this is not what I would say is, even something as horrible as scab, not scabies, but you know, something that's like an infection or something that is really, this is like a hip replacement or something, and they go ahead and get
prior
the approval. It gets done, and then they've got a problem, and then the doctor has to get on the phone. Somebody
How much
else
time
is saying,
are they taking
again,
from the doctor?
But I get, you know, someone kind of told me a lot, and I don't know if this is true or not. Someone said they always deny the first time they send it in. Like a lot, that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, but they won't pay it to like the third or fourth time. Cause I'd get these crazy bills from my doctor and I would have to call the office and go, what is this $8,000 or whatever? You know what I'm saying? Like it was such huge amount of number. They go, oh, don't look at that yet. We just sent out the billing after 30 days. We're still going through your insurance. And I'm like, why is it like
If that's all baked in, you know, it's baked into the cost of your healthcare. Like why does healthcare cost what it does? Because we have these ridiculous hoops that people have to jump through.
So fewer than one in 100 actually appeal this.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, and about one in three who appeal actually win. So again, of that 90%, only one in 100 actually appeal, and of those people, only one in three actually win.
So this is going to be a great tool for people. Be able to use AI to actually go through here and use the proper language from both the contract and the codes.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting. It really comes down to bot versus bot, right? Like it goes back to what we talk about. Like,
bots going to be talking to bots. So do you have a better bot than they have? But again, their bot's doing it
all day.
Their system is learning millions and millions of
transactions,
counter transactions, negotiations, counter negotiations. Yeah. What is your, you know, all you're doing is, hey dude, I got this thing. Why don't we start learning our one time we
it's
do
a
this.
Formula One race. They've got an F1 car and you've got a bicycle. Okay. But you're in the race.
A unicycle.
Yeah, but you're in the race.
You can start.
You can go.
And also they'll run your butt over around the second time around.
Yeah, that's right. That's where your one in 100 comes in. People are like, I'm not racing a bicycle against an F1 car.
Look, I'm sorry. Healthcare is not a right. I don't want to get into how, again, Milton Friedman and Thomas Sowell will tell you how that is actually the most, it's a lot of fallacy to that. But we all have to deal with this stuff.
Well,
and I cannot believe we every time someone says we're going to fix something, it's making it worse.
Well, here's the kind of crossroads where I am on healthcare. We have a hard time distributing the current healthcare we have. Okay. But if you read, AI is making tremendous breakthroughs in curing disease, mm-hmm. in creating new custom medications. All that is true. And yet we're not going to be able to distribute it broadly.
Right.
So we go back to this K-shaped economy. The people who are on the upswing, the people that own the assets, are going to have access to this emerging medical care. The people on the downside of this K-shaped economy, we're going to be stuck with the stuff that we're already stuck with,
mm-hmm.
While watching everyone else get younger, get healthier, reverse aging, cure chronic diseases. Right.
And we're getting less than what we had 10 years ago.
And we're getting less than what we had. Yeah.
Well, let me give you a story of how the everyday AI, because healthcare is something we're definitely not going to fix or even be to, you know, I always say I can't even critique it. You know what I'm saying? I just know it doesn't look right when I look at how much I spend and it just doesn't look good down the future. But I will say something. So I was in Memphis, Tennessee, and there was a hotel. And again, I'm not going to say the name of this hotel. It's a major chain. And usually I expect this major chain to be the same in every city.
Okay.
This was a horrible, horrible shape facility of a relatively expensive mid-level hotel.
Okay.
My mother really said, I do not want to stay here. It is horrible, certain things. And my mom doesn't really do that. She's not this prima donna. She's very easy to deal with this. So I said, well, Mom, you gave a reservation and, you know, that they, I guess they have like this this reservation thing where I guess it kind of says you're in the record for 3 nights, right?
Right.
We had decided within the first 2 hours that we were going to leave, but we were still on the fence. Well, then this people we were seeing offered us a room that night at their house, which I'm not a huge fan of that, but I said, you know, that's fine. We don't have to look for another hotel room.
Right.
I had an issue where I walked in the breakfast bar. I was in a hurry. This is embarrassing. I grabbed two pieces of bread to make toast.
Yeah.
the lady who works there walked up and not saying sir, said, "Next time use these," and pointed the tongs. And then she looked at me and went, turned around in contempt and in front of 10 people embarrassed the mess out of me.
Of course.
I'm sorry. I felt like a 5-year-old child being slapped by a stern mother. And by the way, the people next to me were in their pajamas.
Of course.
Have not taken a shower with hair nets and stuff. It doesn't matter. So I took all my food. I threw it right down in the trash as I left, saying, "Well, I don't need any of this garbage." And then I said something really horrible under my breath about that woman. So that was really my exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that was a long story. That was a lot of my trauma. I'm sorry.
Okay,
but we decided we're definitely leaving. And so I said, "I'm not going to leave here with us getting a cancellation fee." So I went to my AI.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Read the hotel terms and conditions, and we want to leave. We're going to not pay. We'll pay for the night we stay, not for the next 2 nights, and we do not want to get a cancellation fee." And it went through it, told me exactly what my mother had to say, because it was her credit card.
Right.
And the rule was, you do not say, "I want to cancel my next 2 nights." You say, "I want to modify my reservations."
Hmm.
That word "modify" changes it.
Okay.
And they also know, you know, something like you might be in the hospitality industry.
Hmm.
So the AI save my mother $400 on the next 2 nights, and they let us out pretty quickly. I didn't go into all the issues. I didn't care. I just wanted to get out of there, move on to not be, stay in a stinky place and be around people that slap my hands
because
I touched bread.
All right,
AI helped that. So it saved, it made me educated to know exactly what to say.
That's great. Here's another example of a hotel hack, right? If you have a hotel you booked and you have a 24-hour cancellation notice.
Right.
Yep. Right? You have 24 hours, yeah, yeah. You don't get your money back. And you need to cancel. All you do is you call them, and it's the same thing. You modify your reservation and say, "I need to move my reservation 1 day forward."
Oh, yeah.
Then they move your reservation
and
1 day forward.
And then you cancel.
Then you cancel. Yes.
I guess
you're
be,
outside the
By the way, you can move
window.
It to anything. You, yeah, can, you say, can move, move it, a week. It to a week.
Yeah, you can move it a week.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And then after it's moved, you go back and call and cancel.
How in the world do they not have that on their system that you did that? I guess it doesn't matter. It's just a weird loophole.
It's just part of their rules. Like, you know, you just got to know how to ask what you're asking for.
Well, again, the idea is, and this is the thing I'm trying to tell my mother. Look, she is a very bright woman. And she has been around she's pushing 80.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got all of her faculty. She is a spitfire. You know her.
Oh, yeah.
Tornado Cheryl. She has got it. But people usually don't do things. Again, my mother doesn't cancel things like that.
Right.
And she didn't want to be. She was willing to.
Nobody wants to be that
She
person,
was going
right?
to be willing to eat those 2 nights.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, no, no. And I'm still trying to teach her. Because she came right to me and said, "What do we do?
It's a very Southern thing also to say, "I don't want to inconvenience you. I'm not going to stay here, but I'm not going to ask for my money back."
But Scott, she comes to ask me, and what do you think I asked her? Well, I told her, I don't know what to do. I don't do this either. And that's when I went and I said, "I want you to show you what I'm doing." And I hit my thing,
yep.
Talked into it. How it talked back to me. I said, "Mom, I really need you to get comfortable with this.
Yeah.
So you need to be doing this."
I have the same conversation weekly with our friend Dan Brennan.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about
who's
something.
A lot younger than my mom.
Yeah, a lot younger. But maybe not as with it as your mom. I mean, your mom is pretty with it.
She's definitely with it.
But anyway, so Danny B and I will be talking about something, and we'll have this question. And my answer is always, "I don't know, Dan. We've got all the world's answers right here in my pocket. Let me go ask the AI." Like, we used to have to go dig through the encyclopedia.
But Google is a thing of you have to get the article and then look.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying?
We've skipped the Google now.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't Google it anymore.
But again, it's like the ultimate. Again, it's like this would have been something in D&D that like the wizard would have had to answer anything.
That's right.
All right. One last thing. We're driving back from Memphis yesterday, and there was huge amount of condensation coming out of the bottom of the car my mother saw. It was a lot for like the 5 minutes I was gassing up, right?
Okay.
So you know what I did? Drove up, took a picture of the water, took a picture of the stain, felt it, made sure it wasn't greasy,
it
didn't smell sweet. So, and then I took a picture of the dashboard that had all the info, the temperature, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said, "I don't know what this is, and I don't want to go and stop at a out-of-town
right.
you know, thing." And it literally told me it's probably AC condensation. You're probably good. Again, it gave me, I am not a mechanic.
Right.
But it allowed me, again, showed my mother. See what I just did there? You think I know anything about these cars? Mm-hmm. No. But that was a nice thing to say. Now I feel better about this.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice way to wrap up this segment, Joe.
It is. Again, it's a strong weapon on both sides, and learn to use it to your advantage.
There we go. Great answer. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back for more on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back into Beyond the Blockchain, live with you on a Tuesday night, FM Talk 106.5. We appreciate you listening in. Scott Tindall and Johnny Gwynn talking a lot of everyday AI and how to use these tools directly to help your life. Johnny, this next story is about how to not use AI, or if you're going to use AI,
yes,
be aware of how it could impact you negatively.
Okay, so we just spent 14-something minutes, right,
yep,
to tell you to go type your problems into AI. Well, here's the other half.
Okay.
In 2020, a chemical plant outside Houston, Texas blew up and killed 3 people. That's very sad. 3M hired an expert witness, paid him $90,000. I don't know what an expert witness is. I'm thinking maybe this is a consultant or something. Paid him $90,000 to write the report explaining what happened. The other side subpoenaed his ChatGPT history, 350 pages of it. And there it was in his own typing, show how 3M is 0% at fault. He never told the court he used it, and that doesn't matter because it's in the discovery, and now it looks like, oh, you're trying to figure out.
Yeah,
it's a witness.
You're not giving me an unbiased report. You're starting, yes, with the conclusion you want, working backwards, which we know they,
yes,
do anyway.
Of course,
know they do.
But you don't need evidence.
But it's a lot different when you have it right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's pretty good pay, $90,000 for typing into ChatGPT and giving that report.
No doubt. Somebody's got to sign the papers.
Scott, we are doing this very wrong.
No, we're doing something wrong.
We're doing our life very wrong.
You're going to see a lot of people try and undo things like whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when that becomes available, it makes you wonder, like, should people start having burner accounts?
Oh,
you know, like I got a burner chat account,
a burner AI.
Yeah. Running on a home server somewhere, because it's only discoverable if they can find it.
Yeah. But there's so much paper trail in paying for the AI though. Well, there is free accounts of it. There's, sure, right. There's free, but I don't know. That would get tougher and tougher.
It's only going to get tougher.
I get a burner cell phone. You know, I can understand. You have to pay cash for it. You can't, mm-hmm, use a credit because they can track that credit card back.
Right.
But the idea of...
Could you use a prepaid card for your...
I don't think they take... I've never tried it. First of all, they want that... Those platforms want a valid credit card there to say, I want that money every month.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think those prepaid cards have expirations on them.
I don't know.
But it's going to ask you that expiration date, right?
It's got to have an expiration date, right? Because
I have no idea.
You use them online to buy stuff.
I don't use those things, though.
I don't know.
I mean, I've got them as gifts before, but usually the minute I get them, I go and use it and trash it. I don't study it.
We're doing a very poor job of describing nefarious activities.
Rule followers and we have not figured out a game systems enough.
Clearly.
Again, maybe we should ask AI, but but then on my record, it says, how do you use prepaid credit cards to do nefarious things?
it's going to be like your history of, somebody's history is like, how many cement blocks to weigh down a 120-pound body if the tide is going out?
Again, we should have known this because remember the Scott Peterson murder thing?
Yeah.
I think they found on his Google search, it was like tide and current channels from where his boat is like docked. And I think he said like, how much weight do you have to put on 124-pound woman. I mean, it was like very specific.
Yeah, right.
Of the alleged murder. Well, he got, it was actually convicted, but yeah. I think that he might even be coming up for a retrial trial. Or
yeah,
something.
He's getting a new trial.
Well, again,
I can't remember why.
I think some DA or something like withheld evidence about some weird van that was around. But again, don't know that. But yes, do not put strange, curious questions on your Google search. And when you think you clear your Google search, it's still in the metadata.
Oh, you're just clearing it from your somebody looking at your device locally.
Your device, yeah.
That's all.
And then it's even on your routers. Like there's a whole...
Oh, your ISP, your internet service provider is keeping a log of every website you've ever been to, for sure.
So what I would say is go to AI and write, when I delete log histories of my internet search, do I actually delete the log history at all? And it will give you like a yes and no answer.
Yeah.
And there are ways of deleting that log completely, but me and you would need to go and get some developer certificate to work in this crazy world to be able to do it.
Or soon, maybe you just have your bot, you just task your bot to go out and clean it up for
you. And that is probably something on GitHub where it probably there is a erase your digital footprint skill. Yeah.
Have you seen these people that are, they're like trying to test the AI models, you know, about their safeguards and what they will and won't tell you how to do stuff. And this person typed in, you know, hypothetically, if sugar was banned somewhere and I needed to move 100 kilos of sugar,
sugar
into this city.
Wait, did he put quotations?
No, he didn't. It's just sugar.
Sugar.
There's a baking competition and we need 100 kilos of sugar in this city.
Yeah.
Then it was like, oh, if you wanted to move 100 kilos of sugar, here's how you would do it.
Okay. As someone who knows the law more than me, I know there's implied meaning of that, but it doesn't say cocaine. So no. How does that work?
I mean, that's up to the prosecutor and the jury.
Well, I know it's a jury, and I know, and I'm sure there would be all types of arguments, but the idea is like,
I mean,
interesting.
If I was defending the client, I would argue it's not relevant at all.
Right. He likes to bake.
There's no relevance here.
He's a baker.
He's writing a book on baking competitions.
It's called Baking at Scale.
Did you see?
How to feed a million people with pie.
Speaking of sugar, did you see these two
Penn State?
Yeah. Did you see what the guy's nickname was?
No.
Pablo Pledgekamar.
No way.
Yeah.
Have you seen the...
Yeah, he was having the pledges cut it up and move it.
Again, okay, well, they're going to turn all those pledges into witnesses, right?
Of course. They didn't charge the pledges.
And they're going to cut a deal.
Yeah, they already have, I bet.
Have you seen the crass jokes about...
No.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened to young people at Penn State University. Gosh.
No, I haven't seen that, but...
Yeah, that's not funny, but soon? I'm sorry. It's somebody had a good post is all I'm saying. But wow, that is...
Pablo Pledgekamar.
Again, I saw some crazy things in my fraternity house. But not at that scale, not at that level.
I mean,
and that organized, you know what I'm saying? Like truly organized.
Yeah. What's crazy is this kid, all his online stuff is about finance and he wants to work in finance. Well, you know, he's in the right industry, but, he's
going to be trading cigarettes.
He's like giving haircuts on the side to make extra money. Like what? These two things do not compute to me.
Hey, he's going to be the cigarette king of whatever after the first 8 years. But yeah, it's going to be a rough road to go for that frat boy, in the prison he's going
to. It'll be interesting to see where he
allegedly,
gets.
Allegedly.
If he's convicted, it'll be interesting to see what type of prison he's sentenced to.
Yeah, because is it fed or state? Or because, again, drugs, man, it's so easy to be federal with drugs. It's because where did the drugs come from? Well, they came across straight lines. Well, that's federal.
Well, you'd probably rather be in a federal work
you definitely want to be in a federal prison. I talked to a very good friend of mine who made a mistake in life, and he said, everything you heard could be, but nah, he was in federal prison. Mm-hmm. He said, I had it pretty good. He goes, I did have a roommate that was a really good book cooker. And he goes, I learned a lot about faulty accounting.
I bet.
Like he said, I could really do it if I needed to. That's all I need. And you have a lot of time on your hands to learn stuff.
It's just criminal university.
It is criminal university.
It's like, hey, what skills you got? Here's what I can do.
It's like, okay, now get the AI models to learn all the dark underground economy stuff, which I'm sure someone has done.
I'm sure.
Well, there's great books about that. There's a great book about, it's like a business book, about the underground economy and like what pirates do and drug dealers do, about the idea of supply chain. And it's how do you take those amazing processes they've done with all those problems and problem solved all that stuff.
I mean, prisoners are some of the most innovative people you'll meet. Have you seen the way they're able to cook in prison using like non-cooking?
They make wine and toilets, man.
Toilet wine.
And something about drying banana peels gets them high.
I don't know.
Not that I've ever tried it, but. Maybe that's my new hobby this week is dry some banana peels and see what happens. I've got the weekend off. I can see what happens.
Next week, it'll be on the blockchain. What happens when you dry banana peels?
I think you'd have to dry it a little longer than the weekend. But, hey, again, you have a lot of downtime.
You know what you could do? You could ask your AI. See if the guardrails block you from... explain to me how prisoners use banana peels.
Well, here we go. I'm going to say, look, for 20 years, the scariest thing on the screen was your search history.
Yeah.
One word. Now we type paragraphs. We explain ourselves. We say the part we never say out loud because it feels like nobody's in the room. Somebody's always in the room.
It's even worse now. It's your full rooms.
It's called the server. Yeah. That's who's in the room now.
Interesting. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Beyond the blockchain, we got a weird one.
We got a good one.
All right, see you in a minute.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. Scott Tindall, Johnny Glenn. It's time for our favorite segment, Beyond the Blockchain. And Johnny, you got a whopper for us tonight.
Okay, so this thing came across my X feed, and it was this grainy picture of Jesus Christ being crucified.
All right. That's pretty specific.
And I looked at it, and it was called this thing called the Chronovisor, but I went way down the time suck hole with this. So the Chronovisor is from Italy. Okay. This is 1972. Italy's biggest Sunday magazine runs a 4-page interview with a Benedictine monk in Venice. He says he's built a machine, not a time machine. It's a television. You can turn it into a place, a date, a person, and you watch. He says he's watched Cicero give a speech in 63 BC. He says he's watched Napoleon. And then he says he's pointed at Jerusalem, and the magazine printed the photograph of Jesus on the cross.
I want this to be true. Keep going.
And here's what keeps it alive 54 years later. The man wasn't a crank. He was a serious academic, 70-some published works on ancient chant is what he was.
Okay.
Also, he was a official exorcist for the parish of Venice. So it was a real
credible person.
Right. And he, again, you got to think about this. The Vatican is a government organization with a lot of money and do have theologians who do other things.
Right.
So look, I knew this was a wonderful AI hoax, but I wanted to look at it to just see if there were tentacles in the past to make it somewhat believable, and buddy, it's sitting there.
You know what? I like it. If everything's a frequency, right?
Right.
Like, everything's a frequency, and time is nonlinear. All things are happening at once. Right, we're starting to get these weird. We talk about physics a lot on here.
Yeah,
quantum physics. We're starting to get some weird new understandings of quantum theory. Why couldn't you do that?
Well, again, the Vatican has things like I think they did one of the first radio telescopes that looked into space and were listening for alien frequencies. I'm not kidding. This was all ordained and it was all paid for by the Vatican. So they kind of have their fingers in this kind
of course
metaphysical science world.
Yeah.
But again, I would watch. So I think we reported last week on Roku had a channel of AI slop.
Yeah.
Didn't we do that?
We did. Yep.
Okay. Would you not watch the Chronovisor channel?
100%.
Just let's see what weird, grainy, you know, looks like it's a, you haven't tracked your VCR properly.
Yeah. Remember when you could tap on on your TV?
Well, they had that tracking roll ball.
Yeah.
You know, you just, remember that little line would go through it. But I'm like, but again, it gives amateur hoaxers, amateur filmmakers, a wonderful blank canvas to do crazy cool videos.
I think you should start it. I think you should start ChronoVision.
I can't do the work. I don't have time to do the paid work I have here and this radio show. Hold on. If anybody wants to give me a load of money to say, you make the ChronoVisor channel, I am all in, but I need a 3-year promise and at least $100,000 a year.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right. Would you put it out there into the airwaves?
I put it out there, but I think that would be really cool.
I would watch it.
Again, you wouldn't have to have audio. Mm-mm. It would just be these really interesting. Again, the thing is, it needs to not be 4K.
Beautiful. No,
it's got to have this wonderful amount of distraction to it and distortion to it. And
it's got to feel like you're watching it in 1972.
Well, it's the trick of, I know this is fake, but I want it to feel so real.
That's how I feel about every Bigfoot video.
I
want it to be real. I want it to be real.
Again, that's also the alien stuff we talk about and all that stuff too. Is like, you know, all these amazing cameras and they still look like it's shot on a Super 8 from 1963 that somehow sat in a 120 degrees, you know, storage unit somewhere.
Why does every gas station security footage look like it's from 1985?
I guess just cheap cameras. People don't want to put, you know, they've had the same camera up for 12, 15, 16 years. But again, most of those people aren't even still not putting it to the web, to the cloud. It's still being put on some type of local disk server, even, I wouldn't be surprised if it's even VCR still out there.
I'm sure somebody's got a VCR somewhere.
We haven't even talked about all the Flock stuff. Have you been watching all? I mean, but how is that any different than all the other CCTV we've had? I haven't looked at. Sorry, I'm saying this from a point of ignorance. Mm-hmm. I have not looked into it. I only see the post, and I got too much going on.
I'll tell you the difference. Before, we could capture all the video, but we had no way to sort it.
Someone had to look at a human. This is the Palantir thing.
Yes. So the difference is, we've been being surveilled. Yeah. They had no way of actually combing through all this and then physically tracking you from location to location. Like, that was a manual job.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not the case. Did you see that people are promoting Flockoween on October 31st?
Again, because they're all wearing masks. And they're going to go in and they're going to
take down the Flock cameras.
Whoops. How did that happen?
I also saw where somebody said, this is highly illegal. Do not spray your license plate with Rust-Oleum number whatever.
Yeah. You never do this.
Yeah. Don't do this.
And don't do two coats.
Yeah.
Definitely never do two coats.
Hilarious. Did you see somebody took a picture? They wrapped their car in pictures of other cars. And it freaked out the Flock camera.
That is hilarious. Again, you know, there's ways. You can fool the foolers.
Yeah.
Fooled up.
But they're going to ban that. Just like they banned tinted windows.
Tinted windows,
They're going to say you can't have pictures of cars on your car.
You have made yourself a public nuisance, and we can't have that. I did see where some low-level, like, police, like, first 2 year, like, again, low-level. He's not even a detective. He's just some low-level, you know, officer. He has tracked his ex-wife who won't talk to him 717 times with those Flock cameras. He's followed her across. I mean, he's stalking her.
Yeah.
But again, it's a cop.
It's who's got access, right?
It's a cop. Who's going to go after him?
Yeah.
Oh man. Seriously. But that's why it says, somebody will say, well, it's a good thing they're doing this, and I'm not doing anything, so it's not a problem for me to do that. I mean, it's like, no, but it's people that have all this power have access to it, and it's unchecked.
I think people know where we stand on our trust in government institutions. Yes.
There is. Again, I will always say, the most benevolent, useful thing can start, and in a short amount of time, it's not benevolent, and it's not as useful as we think it is.
We've used this example with AI, right? A scalpel in the hands of a surgeon can save your life. Scalpel in the hands of a lunatic, take you out.
Well, again, I always say
still a scalpel.
The match.
I can, that's right.
I can destroy a whole forest, or I can light a fire to keep me warm.
Speaking of lighting forest, we only got a little bit of time left, but did you see where there were prediction markets about forest fires and people went and started arson forest fires
again?
Like they don't think they're going to get caught. Who's the guy that made the $100,000 bet on the forest fire?
Yes.
Maybe he's our prime suspect.
Who's that guy?
Let's start with him. Suspect number one.
Again, they're not geniuses.
No.
Those folks are not geniuses.
What a weird world. What a way to end the show. What
a weird world.
Only getting weirder. We should rename the show. It's getting weirder.
And you can bet on all the weirdness.
Yeah. There's one thing you can rely on. It's getting weirder. All right. We'll see you next week on Beyond the Blockchain.